What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey, how's it going? This is Matt here from Silver Fortune. A 50% devaluation of the US dollar over a 5-year time span. That's what I'm predicting. That's what we'll be discussing today. You know, the idea of a dollar collapse is by no means a novel idea. I'm sure as long as the dollar has been in existence, somebody's been out there predicting its eventual collapse. And certainly over the last roughly 10 years, I think there's been some renewed interest in the topic with the advent of the Great Recession, the financial crisis, 0% interest rate policy, QE, and of course, the ever-increasing debt at the sovereign, corporate, and consumer level. And yet, you know, I think many in this community and elsewhere, you know, erroneously believe that the US dollar collapse has to be some sort of singular event, that one day it's there and the next day through means of hyperinflation or otherwise, it's no longer going to be there, or that this is something that has to happen over a week or a month or a year. When in reality, you know, one could argue, many argue, including myself, that the US dollar collapse started a long time ago and it continues today. In fact, you know, this is evidenced by the US dollar having lost something like 97% of its value, 97%+ of its value since the Federal Reserve was created in 1913. I think that qualifies as a collapse. It's just not what many people have in their head as a collapse. You know, a good example would be the Roman Empire. Of course, the Roman Empire, you know, officially the Western Roman Empire collapsed sometime in the 400s AD. And yet, you know, I think many historians would argue that many historians, which by the way, are much more well-versed than I am, that yes, maybe that's when Rome fell, but the collapse of the Roman Empire started long before that. And one could argue that the Roman Empire lived on beyond the fall of Rome because of course, there was the Eastern Roman Empire, which eventually turned into the Byzantine Empire, etc., which lasted, you know, almost another 1,000 years. And I think that that can be the case for the U.S. dollar as well and the U.S. empire as a whole, whichever one we're talking about here. Yes, we can talk about a 50% devaluation in 5 years, 90%, right? 95%. And yet, both of those things, the U.S. and the U.S. dollar can continue to exist just as a shadow of their former self. A good example for that would be, you know, the Roman Empire, or not just the Roman Empire, but the British Empire, right? Of course, the British Empire, that, you know, what the saying goes, that the sun never set on the British Empire. And yet today, you could argue it still exists as the U.K. And yeah, they still do have some territories around the world, but certainly a shadow of its former self. In terms of wealth, in terms of influence, in terms of power. Yeah, I mean, are they considered a superpower today? No, absolutely not, right? And so I think the same can be true for the U.S. and the U.S. dollar. So enough about that. Get into this prediction I'm talking about, this 50% devaluation. Now, I could go on and on about why I think this is going to take place. And, you know, at the end of the day, there's going to be some things that even I, you know, nobody will be able to predict, even I, as if I'm some sort of an expert or something, but no, that nobody will be able to predict with excellent precision. And I think another important thing to keep in mind is that I'm not necessarily talking about 5 years from today. Now, I think that this time period that I'm talking about is coming up here next year or two, certainly. And also, you know, the 50%, it could be more than that. But I certainly do think that 50% is very likely, and it could be more than that. Again, some of this is just very difficult to predict. So no, I can't give you a perfect amount of exactly how much it'll be devalued. And certainly I can't give you every single reason, but I do want to focus on three primary reasons for why I think this is going to be the case. So number one on this list, of course, this is in no particular order. I think all three of these go hand in hand. But number one on this list is the national debt, the U.S. national debt. Now, I made a video about this recently and why I think this is so important to consider going forward. And it was titled something, I encourage you to watch it. It's titled something along the lines of, who is going to buy $30 trillion of U.S. debt in 10 years? And that's a great question. I mean, we have, you know, something like $22 trillion of debt right now. And you look at who holds that in terms of foreign governments, foreign investors, domestic investors, et cetera, and of course, the Federal Reserve. And yet you're looking at more than doubling that in 10 years. And of course, that was going off of kind of a model that was put out there by Alistair MacLeod. Now it could 30 billion. It could be 20 billion. It could be 40 billion or sorry, trillion over the next 10 years. Either way, it's a lot of additional debt in a relatively short time span. And you have to ask yourself, who's going to buy that? Because if you watch that video and if you look at some of the data recently over the last couple of years about who is buying that debt, you know, the number one buyer of U.S. Treasury bonds over the last year has been domestic investors, you know, pension funds, hedge funds, etc. It has not been China or Japan or some other foreign company or foreign central bank or government that's been buying these bonds. It's been primarily domestic investors. And you have to ask yourself, you know, just how much can they continue to buy, right? How many years in a row of financing $1 trillion plus of U.S. Deficits can they ultimately, ante up that money? How large is our domestic investment market? At what point do they draw too much away from other really critical parts of the U.S. markets, whether that's a stock market, real estate market, etc.? And how much can foreign investors move in to bonds? And, you know, the other thing to keep in mind is that you have to ask yourself, you know, when things like inflation come to mind, or even just a low yields on these bonds, you know, what is investment demand going to be like going forward if the yields continue, you know, on the 10-year to hover in between 2.5% and 3%? You know, at what point is that not enough for investors with ever increasing deficits? So I think that's number one on the list. Number one on the list is this deficit problem, and who is going to finance that debt? Of course, I think the answer to this question, to kind of reveal part of this end game to you guys, is it's going to be the Federal Reserve. They'll be forced to. Okay, but number two on this list, and part of why they'll be forced to, I think, in a pretty short time span here coming up quickly, is going to be another economic downturn. That's number two on this list of why I think this devaluation is going to have to occur. That's going to be another recession. And again, this goes back to the national debt. What is the national debt going to look like during the next recession? Well, we saw what happened during the last recession, right? We saw what happened during the dot-com bubble as well. In fact, we were running surpluses in what, like the late 90s, early 2000s. The dot-com bubble came around, and of course, 9/11 and Afghanistan and Iraq, etc. But spending ballooned, right? Under the Bush administration, you saw debt essentially double from roughly 5 to roughly 10 trillion. And then at the end of his 8 years in office and the beginning of Obama's, we had the Great Recession and we had the financial crisis. And during that time span, we saw it essentially double again during Obama's 8 years. Right, massive, government bailouts and stimulus programs, etc., to try and jumpstart the U.S. economy and save the financial system. You had declining tax receipts, and you know, keep in mind, relating this back to the debt market and whatnot, this was in this massive U.S. Treasury bond bull market that's been dating back to the 1980s, meaning that yields didn't go crazy high during these really high deficits. No, they as a whole have fallen since the financial crisis, since the Great Recession. And so even with, you know, they still had this tailwind of fallen rates despite these out of control deficits. And you have to ask yourself next time around, we could be looking at, you know, right now we're looking at north of $1 trillion in deficits, creeping up on $1.5 trillion during supposedly strong economic times. During the next recession, $2 trillion, I think, is going to be a piece of cake for our government to kind of blow through that type of money through declining tax revenues and increased expenses. $3 trillion? $4 trillion. I think, you know, if it gets bad enough, $4 trillion, even $5 trillion over a 1-year time span is not at all out of the question. Just like if you ask somebody back in the early 2000s, would we see $2 trillion plus dollar deficits during a recession? They would probably say, no, probably not. And I think today many mainstream people would dismiss the idea of a $4 trillion deficit. And yeah, I think it's absolutely a real possibility. And again, it goes back to who's going to finance that? Who's going to finance that type of spending? Is it going to be foreign governments? Well, we'll get to that here in a second. But is it going to be domestic investors, pension funds, which are already going to be losing a massive amount of their holdings and will likely need a bailout? Is it going to be hedge funds or mutual funds or some other, you know, funds that are directly related to U.S. consumers? Their ability to buy it is already diminished. They've already, I think, bought trillions and trillions, obviously. And I think their ability to buy more is already limited. What's it going to look like when their overall, you know, portfolio value is A, being shrunk by inflation, and B, really diminished because of a crash in the stock market or the real estate market, or both? You know, what is their ability to finance something like a $3 or $4 trillion deficit going to look like? It's going to be very, very limited, right? And that brings us to the third one here, talking about internationally. And even, you know, nationally, in terms of you know, the real market makers and these big funds and whatnot, you know, what is their perception of the dollar and of bonds going to look like in such a period? Because I can tell you that already we're seeing evidence of just a decreased tolerance for increasing deficits and increasing debt, right? You're seeing this, again, as evidenced by central banks around the world and treasuries not really financing most of the last year's worth of deficits, right? China or Japan, Russia, of course, has sold a huge chunk of their treasury holdings, of course, relatively speaking. They didn't hold a whole lot, but even China or Japan as a whole, they've been tapering off their buying or even selling some of their bonds. I mean, that's a crazy thing here, that China, Japan, they don't necessarily have to dump all their treasury holdings in this next recession. Heck, they can even buy some. They can buy each. They could buy $250 billion each a year, which would be quite a bit for both of them. I think difficult for them to do in such a period, in such an environment. And it's still not going to be close to enough, right? You could have, just to put this, you know, put some numbers here. Let's say we're talking about a $3 trillion deficit. You could have China alone buy $250 billion. You could have Japan buy $250 billion. And you could have the rest of the world finance another $500 billion, okay? Now you finance $1 trillion. How are you going to finance the other $2 trillion worth of that debt? Again, I think domestic markets are going to be tapped out. And ultimately, that leads to two paths. First of all, higher yields and lower prices, so that maybe new buyers will come in and potentially consider you know, increasing their holdings of U.S. debt. But of course, the problem with that is slower economic growth, because we're already in a very high debt environment and a low, relatively speaking, low rate environment. If you crank up rates or if yields rise significantly, then I think the end result of that is going to be much slower economic growth. And in fact, you know, with this, you know, kind of crowding out of the overall market space, this is something I heard Luke Roman, in fact, this whole topic he's been talking about quite a bit recently, right? He has been for a while. I just heard him recently. This crowding out of debt markets by the U.S. Treasury market. And so you have this whole pie of debt that has to be bought, corporate debt, consumer debt, and of course, national debt. And as you add more and more national debt to that, well, somebody's going to buy all this debt. So that means other rates are going to rise as well. And this ultimately leads us back to, there's got to be somebody else that's going to fund these deficits and overall buy all this debt up off the markets, because the alternative is very high interest rates, crushing interest rates. Now, I think you guys already know who that buyer is going to be. That's going to be, it has to be the Federal Reserve. It has to be the Federal Reserve. And so this goes back to kind of number three, talking about foreign governments and their decreased tolerance for these rising deficits. At what point, and I'm sure many foreign central bankers and foreign investors, et cetera, have maybe already come to this realization, but at what point does kind of everybody, including the market as a whole, realize that this deficit spending is going to have to be financed by quantitative easing, by debt monetization? Because once they realize that, I think over a very, very short time span, you're going to see that priced into the markets. You're going to see the dollar devalued significantly. You're going to see much, much higher inflation. Never mind just the inflation of the money supply, but also just in terms of rising prices and falling value and purchasing value of the dollar. Now, it's not to say that other currencies can't fall as well, right? The euro, the yen, the yuan, the pound, etc., they could fall by even more over this time span, right? Because of how their central banks and governments react to this inevitable global economic slowdown. But the U.S. dollar in particular, I think, is going to be hit pretty hard. And on one hand, this is going to, in theory, help the U.S. government because, a major devaluation of the U.S. dollar is going to make any debt that's held by the U.S. government, by consumers, by corporations, look less daunting, right? Not as threatening, especially with something like a 50% devaluation in 5 years. Again, going back to my original prediction. But there's also the other side of that. Who holds that debt? And what is that going to do to their asset holdings? I mean, there's no easy way out of this, okay? And so if you have a massive devaluation, massive amount of inflation over that time span, what is that going to do to things like treasury bonds, again, held by foreign governments, by domestic, of course, foreign investors, and then domestic investors, pension funds, etc. Ultimately, if yields are kept low, and of course they go high, then we go back to the rising cost to fund the debt, as well as the influence in the economy of rising debts. But if they stay low, what is that going to do to their value of those holdings are going to decrease significantly, right? Same thing goes for those that hold the corporate bonds. And so this goes beyond, or consumer debt, right? This goes beyond just those that have lots of debt being somewhat let off the hook because they don't have to pay as much, right? This goes to the heart of everybody that not just holds the U.S. dollar, but even debt that is denominated in U.S. dollars, right? The value of it is going to go down just as much as the U.S. dollar will. And this is going to be overall just inflation, devaluation of the U.S. dollar. I think it's going to be highly disruptive to the U.S. economy, to the global economy. And I think it's going to be something that will be seen as a real turning point. You know, in some ways, you could look at something like the creation of the Federal Reserve, Bretton Woods, post-World War II, the end of the gold standard and the inflation experience during the 70s, you could see those as turning points. The financial crisis, QE, 0% interest rates, etc. Those are all turning points. And I think this next recession and how the dollar and how the markets will respond, I think that's going to be the next leg down, if you will, the next turning point. Now, will it accelerate? Could we be looking at a 90%, 95% devaluation? Could we be looking at a new reserve currency, worldwide reserve currency, precious metals backed or fiat? These are all tertiary topics. These are all great questions that I've talked about in the past or can talk about in the future. But I think what's really important to understand here is that this inflation or this drop in the value of the dollar that we're experiencing right now, I think pales in comparison to what will happen once we have a recession. Once people realize that deficit funding in the future will largely be supplied by the Federal Reserve, once people realize that deficits absolutely do matter. I mean, all of these things, once they play out, I think whatever inflation we're experiencing now, which is hard to tell because I certainly don't buy the official numbers, but whatever it is, I think we're going to be looking at much, much higher inflation and a much larger devaluation of the dollar. And again, you have to ask yourself, I shouldn't say it again, but what are investors going to be thinking during this time span? What are they going to want to get into? Because obviously we're talking about bonds here, corporate debt or government debt. And I think that's not going to be a very attractive option unless the prices are very low and the yields are very high. Okay. And so other than that, you have stocks, obviously equities, which I see as very overvalued right now, and I don't think they're going to benefit from all of this economic turmoil or currency turmoil. No. And then you have, you know, obviously currencies, that's when we're talking about high inflation and devaluation there. I mean, there's other options, but really it leaves us down to things like commodities, real estate, and precious metals, which some people would consider a commodity. But I think there's going to be a lot of interest in. And again, it goes back to what I've talked about so many times on this channel, that we don't need the entire investment community scrambling for gold and silver, especially when it comes to silver. Even just a small percentage of that money heading into the silver market, I think would make a huge difference. And I think any devaluation of the dollar, you know, 50%, whatever it is, I think that that would be far more multiplied. Let's say the dollar value is cut in half. I don't just see silver doubling in price or gold doubling in price. I think it's going to be much, much larger than that because of the demand and because of the future expectations of higher and higher inflation in the future. And the other thing that we have to talk about is geopolitical and domestic political concerns. What is this going to look like at the political level here in the United States? And what is it going to look like on the international level? Is the U.S. going to choose to try and lash out during these types of time periods, whether it's for distraction or to try and consolidate power? Are we going to lash out on Venezuela or on Iran or hey, even Russia or China or North Korea, right? Is that type of lashing out, that type of trying to reposition ourselves as the dominant superpower in the world, is that going to take place? And then domestically, you got to ask yourself what's it going to look like, right? What is the next, you know, roughly two years of Donald Trump's presidency going to look like? What is the election going to look like? I think it's going to be pretty ugly. I think it's going to be very polarized. Right? Are we going to move into the realm of domestic or societal unrest, riots, mass protests over things like inflation or lost jobs, unemployment, etc.? Are you going to continue to see this big move to the left in socialism? Will Donald Trump win or lose the next election? These are all great questions, and I think that without getting into specific predictions here about what it's going to look like, I think as a broad statement, we can say we're going to see increased polarization, increased political upheaval and uncertainty. I think you're going to see more and more unrest and even violence. And that's just domestically. And globally, I think it's a fair bet to say that we're going to see U.S. foreign policy become more and more aggressive. And I think we're going to become, and paradoxically, we're going to isolate ourselves, right? The whole idea of isolationism or isolationists, you know, dates back to probably pre-World War I, you know, the idea of, or even before that, right? Even the founding fathers, that maybe the U.S. should kind of focus on our own country, stay in our lane, and limit our interference overseas. And yet, I think what's going to happen is we're going to become increasingly meddling. We're going to meddle more and more. We're going to become more aggressive. And that's, again, paradoxically or whatever, going to isolate us more, because more and more governments are going to basically shun us or position themselves away from us because of what we're doing. We're still going to maybe have some friends, maybe the UK or something like Canada, something like that. But more and more, I think we're going to be isolated because of economic or even military options that we choose to undertake overseas. But again, this is, I think we're moving into a very dangerous time period. And I'm not going to tell you how to protect yourself or that you should. I'm simply just providing this information and my own prediction. So obviously, don't take this as investment advice or advice, period. There's plenty of maybe advice that I give on this channel or thoughts on this. And certainly maybe I'm pointing you in a certain direction, but ultimately this comes down to your own personal decision, your own personal convictions. But I will tell you that my own personal convictions are that we're moving into, again, I don't know when this will begin, a year from now, 2 years from now, maybe it's just beginning now. But as we move into this next recession, this next period of high deficits, and this next period of just decreased confidence in the dollar globally and domestically, it's going to get pretty ugly pretty quickly. And I think something like a 50% devaluation in 5 years is not at all out of the question. So I hope you enjoyed this video. I hope you enjoyed this kind of comprehensive talk about this subject. And I said comprehensive, but we can go so much deeper into this, and I'm sure we will again in the future. So I hope that if you enjoyed this, please hit that like button, comment if you have thoughts, questions, etc. Subscribe. All those things help me out a ton. By no means feel obligated to, but they do help me out and my channel out a ton. But ultimately, at the end of the day, the number one thing that you can do to support me and my work and this channel is something you've already done, and that is watch this video or listen to this podcast. So thank you for that from the bottom of my heart, and God bless.